Every born-again believer that died, Jesus and an angel or Jesus and somebody come back to get you. I didn't realize how real this was until this little Miss Maida Pennington. She lived right here in Justin, a precious little lady. And I see Esther with her beautiful red dress on today, and I think about Miss Maida Pennington. She wore a long, beautiful red dress like that a lot to church. I mean, she must have really loved red because she wore it. At least I noticed it every time. She was a little bitty, tiny lady, and she, of course, she was way up in her 80s, and she walked with steps about this big, you know. But she was a precious daughter of the King. Good morning, Miss Maida. How are you? Oh, I'm fine, Brother Thurman. How are you this morning? I'm wonderful. Well, Miss Maida, all of a sudden one day in her, I think she was in her late 80s, maybe in her 90s. But Miss Maida got the feeling bad. And so being a Southern Baptist, she didn't know how to walk in faith. She didn't know how it works, unfortunately. But they took her to the hospital. And Benny Craver, a Ph.D. from the seminary, was our pastor at the time. Benny graduated from seminary with a Ph.D. You know, it was amazing. He looked at me one day right in church, and he said, "You see that woman right there?" And he said, "You see that man right there?" And he pointed a finger right at me and to another lady there. And her last name was Thurman, and my first name was Thurman. He said, "There's two Thurmans in this church, and there's one of them right there, and there's the other one right there." He said, "And I don't like either one of them." Wow. He said, "They both know more about the Word of God than I do, and I have a Ph.D. from the seminary." He was just joking us. He loved us both. He was a great guy. But he did know that this woman had quite a bit of knowledge, and he knew I'd studied the Word in detail. But Benny was in the hospital with Miss Maida. And he said, "I went up there to visit her, and there she was laying there, unconscious." And so he said, "I thought, well, I'll just sit here and read a book for a little while, just in case people come in, at least they will know I, as a pastor, come and spend a little time in the room with her today." He said, "I was sitting there for a little while, and I'm reading my book, and all of a sudden, I saw something move, and I looked over there, and Miss Maida raised her head up and opened her eyes, and she turned and looked to the left, and she said, 'John.'" Now, John was her son that had died at age 65. She said, "John, that's you." And then she smiled real big and she said, "And John, that's Jesus with you." And she raised that little hand up like that, and just as she clenched it, whew, and Benny just went wild. He called for the nurse. And the nurse come in and she checked her, and she was gone. She was not there. He told that Wednesday night in church, and he was still trembling. He said, "I was in the hospital room today when Jesus came and got Miss Maida Pennington." And said he came with her son, John. Is God awesome? See, she got her personal rapture, didn't she? See, we're all sitting around waiting for the rapture to occur someday. And I feel there will be one someday. But I don't know where I will be when the rapture comes. I may already be home with Jesus for a long time. My rapture may have come 50 or 100 years before that one. I don't know. But the other one may come today. We don't know. But I can assure you, as a born-again Christian, if you're walking in obedience to His Word and serving the King will come for you when the end of your life comes. And that resurrected King that Paul's sitting here trying to tell us, some people says that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, which he says, "I'm telling you, he did rise from the dead." That Jesus will come and get you someday. Yes, sir. And at your own personal rapture. Amen. So there has been many raptures up to this point. Jesus comes personally for each one of us, either with a loved one or with an angel. But he comes to get his obedient children. Isn't that awesome? Amen. To think about God doing that. Then in verse 22 and 23. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order." See, that's exactly what I just told you. Every man in his own order. He's going to come at the proper time for each one of us. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. Now, He's come many times for His people up to this point. Many. I mean, there's no telling how many millions of times Christ has come and caught away His saints, is there? Millions of them. Millions of them have gone home. And He come for them. Verse 24 and 25. Then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. That's going to be the end of the age. You know, at this point, the devil's still running around on this earth. I mean, it's amazing. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. Now then, He's given us the power through His name to put that enemy under our feet. You know, we don't have to live in sin. You know, sin brings forth death. But we don't have to live there. But He must reign. He's reigning right now. He's reigning in some of you. Right now, some of you have learned the promises of God. Right there where we are, I don't know how complicated it would be for Phil to go from there, but Phil, I want you to turn to Romans 5:17, and I want to show you what you have to learn to be able to reign with Christ right now. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Now, who are we talking about right there? Adam. That's exactly right. We're talking about Adam. Much more, not a little more, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Are you reigning with the King today? Are you living in abundance? Are you living in health and prosperity? You know, that's just like a good friend of mine the other day. I walked up and I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Oh," he said, "Thurman, this old 56-year-old body of mine can't produce what my 25-year-old mind tries to think." I said, "I thought you were a Christian." He said, "Well, you know I'm a Christian." I said, "Well, you ain't talking like one today. Your 56-year-old body." I said, "That thing ain't hardly even broke in. And you're telling it an old 56-year-old body. And it can't produce." I said, "I'm glad I don't know those things." I said, "You know I'm a whole lot older than you are." He said, "Yeah, I don't ever hear you say you're tired and wore out." And I said, "And you ain't going to hear me say that either." So anyway, what does the Word of God say? One man sharpens another man. Iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. So it's taken me 3 or 4 times when I'd be around him somewhere, he'd be doing something. And I said, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm having trouble doing this sermon. I just can't do this anymore." I said, "I thought you were a Christian." "Wait a minute." I said, Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." So every time I see him now, I walk up to him, I said, "Well," he said, "praise God, I'm doing good, I can do all that." I mean, is that what we're supposed to do for each other? I mean, after all, whose side are we going to be on? Are we going to serve God and believe His promises, or are we going to serve the devil and be on his side? I don't know about you, but I ain't going to walk over that devil's world, are you? I mean, that devil, don't you know he loves it? When he hears you say, "Oh, I'm poor and I'm broke and I just can't make it today." He said, "Attaboy, let me pat you on the back and let you get a little poor and a little broker and a little weaker. And then I'll start getting you to confess you're sick and afflicted." Like I was telling him last night, a while ago in the prayer meeting, I said, "You know, nobody knows. I was here last night studying the Word of God. Of course, it was storming outside, raining, you know, and everything else. And the wind was blowing. And we did get an inch of rain, praise the Lord, last night. So I was outside, you know, rebuking the devil before it come and all kinds of stuff. And then I got in there, and the more I tried to study last night, the greater become the pressure of the thoughts in my mind that, you know, you don't need to be doing this. You need to be doing something else. You need to be out in the church putting down trim. I said, I don't need to be out in the church putting down trim. I can put down trim next week. I said, now I need to concentrate on the Word. Amen. But the pressure. Well, now wait a minute. I don't think that was my wife does do that to me quite often, but she does it in the week, and she don't do it at 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night when I'm trying to prepare a message for today. She doesn't do it at that time. Yeah, I will have to say, you know, Monday morning woke up and she said, what are you going to do this week? I said, well, I don't really know. She said, you could put the rest of the trim down in the nursery. You could put the sink in the bathroom for the nursery. And I did all those things. The nursery bathroom works, and I did put the trim down in the hallway. I did do a lot of things in the church today. But, I mean, it's last week. But last night, that wasn't her. That was the enemy. But no thoughts in my mind. I need to be doing this. You need to be doing this. Or he's trying to get my thoughts on something I did last week. Or something. He's trying to get my concentration off of a study of the Word of God. You know, and I've just had to continuously, several times, had to say, devil, just get out. In the name of Jesus, I take captive every thought and command these thoughts to leave in the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to study the Word. And so I stayed in my office and studied the Word. Every once in a while, I'd have to get up and go into the kitchen and get me a cup of tea or something. You know, I'd go get a cup of tea and I'd come back and I'd sit there. And two or three times, I had a little snack, something to eat. But still, I concentrated on the Word. And then I got up again this morning and concentrated on it again. But Romans 5:17 says, if by one man's offense death reigned. And it did, didn't it? And it still is.
Yes, sir.
Much more. Now, that's us. Much more they, Thurman, Jack, Joseph. Put your name right there. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Who is he talking about right there? It's the Lord. He's talking about his power, his word. He said, if we receive the abundance of that grace and the gift of righteousness, if we receive all of the things he did for us, then we shall reign, not in eternity, in life, right now, by one Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.